Music from D.C. and Baltimore, you'll find it all here on Corridor. Waltzes or cut time or straight 4/4, you'll find it all here on Corridor.
Records. Can everybody say your name and what you play?
I'm Caitlin and I play the bass.
I'm Mike and I play drums.
I'm Jake, I play guitar and sing.
Hi everybody, this is Kelsey, this is QuarterCast, and we're here with FaZe Arcade. How's everybody doing?
Good.
All right,
thanks. Thanks for being here, I appreciate it. This is a pretty cool practice space you guys have. It's cool to get to know it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, we love it here.
So we'll start with how you guys got together. I know that there have been some changes in the band, but just tell me how you guys met and how you formed a band in the first place.
Well, Caitlin and I went to high school together, and we started playing music together probably like 6 years ago or something, and we kind of made the band Phantom Lanterns. We had a couple different drummers, like our friend Flynn, and then eventually Mike joined over 3 years ago, and yeah, we've been playing together ever since.
Okay. So, Mike, how did you become a part of this?
We shared a practice space together. yeah. The band that my old band, we shared a practice space with Phantom Lanterns.
Here.
Yeah, like right down the hall. What happened with?
Oh, we had to kick out our last drummer. Because he just was terrible. So
that didn't work out.
And we had a show booked, and I called Mike and was like, you know, maybe could you just fill in so we don't have to drop out of this show?
Yeah, our bands had played a show together. Okay. That's like how we met, and that's how we got in the practice space together.
So was there some bad blood with the drummer leaving, or was that just like kind of understood that it was time to move on?
Yeah, it was uncomfortable, but it definitely was. It wasn't super messy, except
no, he's a good drummer.
Practice space.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good drummer, but it just didn't work out for other reasons.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, it was kind of personal stuff.
It just got to a point where, I don't know, Caitlin and I decided it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
But luckily Mike was there, filled in, and then we had a lot of fun, so it just kind of
worked out.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like they had two shows booked because there was like the old EP was coming out, the Phantom Lanterns EP Growing Apart was coming out. So they had those two shows booked already, and I was kind of fill in for the two shows, but just over the course of the month, like playing together and hanging out, I had so much fun.
Yeah, nice.
we had so much fun together that decided to make it a permanent thing.
It all worked out.
So
I want to talk a little more about the name change and stuff, but first let's take a quick listen to one of the songs. Can we play Glooming? I think that's on the new thing, right?
That's the name of the EP.
Okay, yeah. That's the name of the EP.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Fine Lines is the first single.
All right, let's play Fine Lines, and we'll take a break and listen to that, and we'll come back.
Cool. Awesome. Sounds good.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
can you guys tell us a little bit about writing that song and where it came from?
Oh man.
That song was actually, we had our friend Jared, he was playing on second guitar for a little bit, and he actually like contributed majorly to that song. He kind of like gave us the sort of main riff. Mm-hmm. But you know, we had to part ways. Just, you know, he was going somewhere else in his life. He moved to California. So mm-hmm. Yeah. So we kind of just took the skeleton of that song, you know, that he had given us, or that we had worked on together with him. And once he was gone, we kind of tweaked it a little bit more and kept playing it. And people seemed to really like it at shows. You know, like really, it went over well. You know, both with Jared in the band and without him.
Yeah. I like the energy of it on the record.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. We always have a lot of fun playing that one.
Yeah, we had to change it a lot because, like, when we wrote it with four people, it had some more stuff going on.
Yeah.
And so after we went back to being a three-piece, we kind of reassessed our songwriting and tried to keep that, like, power in our show and that just, like, really energetic thing with only three people, so... We had to change all the songs a bunch, including that one, to kind of make up for that almost. But it was great in the end. I really liked the way the song turned out.
Yeah.
And how did you do that? Like, I mean, you're missing a person. How do you keep that same level of energy?
Well, we really thought about what works and like what doesn't work, like what people respond to, and just like what we respond to in our favorite songs. And it kind of boiled down to, like, we realized there's almost like this less is more kind of rule, whereas like we were trying to shred all the time and put all these things into it, and so we kind of stepped back and took the songs to their skeletons and to just the basic chords and really focused on the melodies and then built it back up from there a little bit, but not quite as much and over the top.
Yeah definitely a lot of simplification going on, just to kind of make everything like a little more steady, a little bit easier to sort of like move along to.
And more dynamic too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, without like, I guess, the texture of the second guitar, you know, filling out like the empty space, we kind of had to all like bring it a little bit more.
A little more active.
Yeah.
So I did want to get to the name change. Why make that change? Was that when you had the personnel change, or were there other reasons?
I feel like the ball really started rolling because I spoke up and was like, I don't like our band's name.
Oh, that's what. Oh, yeah.
I was like, I hate our band's name. It sucks. People always pronounce it Phantom Lanterns. It's like maybe a Maryland accent thing, but.
Well, you know.
Yeah. So then we just started tossing around ideas for names and came up with Phase Arcade.
Okay. Yeah. It made sense too, because like we were just saying how we changed our approach to our songs, like mm-hmm. our sounds changed a lot, and our only other release had been with a different drummer who we like, you know, again, we just kind of wanted the band to be about what the three of us had done, mm-hmm. you know, and start fresh. We were going to release new music that sounded a lot different, so it made sense to just kind of start over again a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, a lot happened in the 3 years, you know, between the last EP and this EP.
And like, what do you mean? What changed musically for you guys? Were there personal changes too? Like,
a lot. Yeah. Big combination of all of that. Just really focusing on not always, you know, taking it to the max and like pulling back a little.
Yeah, you know, your tastes change and stuff as you get older.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
My taste like in music really changed. I started listening to a lot of different stuff compared to like when I started the band. And so, you know, what I wanted to do was kind of changing, and we're all kind of growing at the same time, mm-hmm. getting better, not really at music. I don't feel like I've gotten any better at guitar in years, probably. No, like, I feel like I plateaued there. But just focusing more on, like, songwriting mm-hmm. and how to make good melodies instead of just, like, really cool parts all the time, basically. specifically.
So how old were you when you started the band?
This band?
Yeah.
I want to say I was like 20 or 21.
You were like 20. 19 or 20.
I was 20 actually, because one of our shows was like my 21st birthday. It was like it was like 6 years ago, basically.
And so what were you listening to then that was really inspired you?
Like,
I liked Taramellos a lot.
Oh, I don't know that. What's
They're like kind of, they're like math rock, and they shred really hard, and they're just really awesome. Yeah. You should check them out.
They're incredible. Yeah.
I can hear some math rock in your guys' stuff for sure.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll always be there. That's like kind of how we became friends, is like listening to Taramellos records. I'm actually wearing a Taramellos shirt. Yeah, this shirt is so old. I'm pretty sure I was wearing it like when I joined the band.
And we got to open for them a few years ago.
Yeah,
and that was like three of us, like a dream come true. I'm pretty sure we were all super cool. Incredibly stoked. That was still to this day just one of the best shows ever.
Yeah.
Well, talk more about that. What's it like playing for a band that inspired you so much?
It was wild. Crazy. Yeah, I was nervous. I don't really get nervous for shows because they're just like really fun, but for that one I was kind of like feeling it.
So many nerves.
And were they around to watch you, or did they come later?
That was like really the coolest thing. Yeah, like,
they were very nice.
They were cool. They were like out there, like it was just wild, like seeing them out in the crowd, you know. It's like it's people you look up to for so long, and like and then after the show, like hanging out with them, you know, just talking, you know, talking about gear and stuff like that. And it was like, oh hey, they're just regular people.
And like a few weeks ago we got to open for this band Aesthetics that has the drummer and bassist from Fugazi.
That was pretty huge.
And Joe Lally, and it was awesome. Like, I don't know, they're just, you know, I love Fugazi and they're legends. So it's, and they also were very nice and talked to us, and we're just like down to earth. So
I feel like they're the, you know, a seriously down to earth band.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
So it's like kind of far and few between when we get to open for the bigger bands that come through, but every time we have had the opportunity, it's been really awesome.
How did you end up opening for I'm sorry, what's the name again?
Taramellos.
How'd you end up opening for Taramellos? How'd that go down?
Well, I emailed Metro Gallery right away, but I think also like our friend Rosie kind of like knows one of them somehow.
Especially they're really good friends.
She's like designed really cool flyers for them, and like she does a whole bunch of cool stuff in general. And so I'm pretty sure like she helped make that happen.
Thanks, Rosie.
Thank you.
Shout out to Rosie.
So let's
talk about the new EP. So when is that coming out? When's that coming out? We'll start with that.
Is it May 5th?
May 4th.
Yeah.
Sorry. So actually that might be out by the time this goes up. So everyone get the EP.
Awesome.
So where do y'all record it?
Here.
Right here. Oh, nice. Okay, right in this space.
Yeah. We were supposed to record in our last practice space, and a like water main burst.
It
burst in our space and messed up any of our stuff, but then, you know, fire marshals got involved in the building, and like, surprise, it wasn't up to code. So that kind of
put place.
Yeah.
I wonder if there are any practice spaces that are up to code.
This one definitely is. Yeah, it got shut down for a bit. They had to get it up to code. Yeah.
Yeah, but they came back strong.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks, Scott.
We talked about so you recorded it in your practice space. Did you guys like do it yourselves, or did you have somebody come in to kind of track everything?
Jake did most of it. Didn't Donnie help a little bit?
Yeah, my friend Donnie lent me a lot of his equipment, like microphones and stuff. And then when I was mixing it, because that's just kind of something I mess around with, he gave me like some amazing advice, really helped make the bass just come through. And I don't know. He's taught me like most of what I do know about recording, which isn't very much because I don't like record bands. We just did that mostly out of necessity, you know, because we don't have like a budget to record things. And we've also recorded the EP, I think, 3 times and then stopped during production and didn't like it or changed stuff. And so this time we were like, we just need to get something out, do it ourselves. And like, yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So this show is a lot, has a lot of advice in it. So what bass recording tips did you get?
Recording tips.
Do you remember? It's probably late at night.
I mean, to get a good guitar tone, you like, told me this cool thing about miking the front and the back of the amp, but apparently that's like a standard thing. I think all the advice was really standard things that just to me I was like new. Whoa, that's crazy, because I didn't really know what I was doing.
Well, if you've never done it, you wouldn't think to mic the back of an amp.
I mean, I like record myself for fun and like Google stuff to try to learn how to do it while I was doing it, but I don't know. I wouldn't be a good source of advice because it was a struggle to record, and I would not do that for a living because I was getting frustrated.
So we talked a little bit about how your guys' tastes have changed. Does that show up on the EP? Can we expect something different than what we've heard before?
I think so, yeah. Okay. I feel like some of us have been listening to a lot of pop lately.
Yes, some of us.
Okay. So it's like, it's not like poppy at all, but like, you know, it's more accessible, or I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
I think it's different.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a little more like kind of straightforward. Yeah. You know, even if there are some more like choppy technical parts that are thrown in there, they're kind of limited to like the transitions instead of just, you know, always being kind of off time, you know, mathy type stuff. It's definitely, you know, I think there's a more of a focus on having like big choruses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jake had, you know, Jake's recent foray into pop music had a lot to do with that. But I mean, I think it's for the best for sure. Yeah, it's cool because there's a song that the Portal, you wrote Portal when you were what, like 18 or something? It's like a really, it's like a really old song.
Yeah, the Portal's an incredibly old song.
Yeah, we played a version of it the first show that the three of us played together, and it's like so different from how it was then. It's much, you know, more straightforward. It's definitely the most technical song on this EP, but it's still way more straightforward than it was before. And yeah, I think it's definitely for the best. For sure.
And have you guys got to play those songs out live a lot yet?
Yeah,
we've been playing them, and we already are incorporating like a lot of new stuff into our sets because we're, you know, like we're always writing, and so the new stuff is even more accessible and catchy and just like, I don't know. I just like really love fun choruses now. Like, there are some songs I get into and I just play on repeat. And it's like, what is it? I don't know. I just thought about like, what is it about this song that makes me want to listen to it? I don't know. It's just fun.
Do you have a math rock version cover of a Beyonce song yet?
Man.
No.
It's a good idea.
I don't think y'all would let me do that.
Yeah. We'll stand by for that one.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah, I feel like you've proposed that before.
Yeah, already. Or saw something along those lines.
Interesting things. Yeah. I would love to do a Frank Ocean like cover.
Super. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, he's like experimental enough, I feel like, where it wouldn't feel like too uncomfortable.
So from a songwriting standpoint, how has listening to more pop changed your taste? Like, I think you were mentioning the big choruses, right? Mm-hmm. Are there other changes you've noticed?
Yeah, I mean, when I used to play guitar, I would always try to write things. I don't know, like I was more in the math rock, you know, more in the just like doing crazy stuff. But that kind of got boring because all my favorite songs started having like really simple lines that just got stuck in my head. And so I tried to think about how to like take what I know and just kind of condense it to something, basically, like kind of like what you're saying, just the, I don't want to say simplification because that almost has like a negative connotation, but it's, I don't know, just less is more. Mm-hmm. That's been like my approach kind mm-hmm. of strategy.
So instead of 5 minute songs, we have like 2.5 minute songs, and it's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, get in more and get out.
Yeah, and more songs per set. Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
Keeps it fun.
Yeah. It is funny you mentioned that because I was listening to some of the old Phantom Lantern stuff, and now that you say that, it did seem a little more intricate, I guess. But there were 4 members at that point, right?
No, we had 3 then.
Oh, there were 3.
Yeah, we had 3 then, but that's kind of just like, that was the style. Yeah, and we were doing a lot more open tunings, and it was more of like an emo kind of band with like noodly guitars.
Definitely. Yeah.
And we kind of got away from that. That was a big part of what changed the musical taste, actually, is that, I mean, I still have those bands I go to, like Algernon Cadwalder, that'll just shred till I'm dead, but like... I don't know. Yeah. I don't listen to as much of that at all anymore because it became like very popular and then a lot of cool bands sprung up, but then it all just kind of started to blend together for me and I started looking for other stuff and
yeah, there's kind of like a, I feel like we're kind of in like a post emo period, yeah, because there've been all these like revivals, you know. I think like the one that happened a few years ago that we were even a part of, like with the Growing Party P, that was like the 4th wave or something, you know, of a style that was only, you know, that only really began in like, I guess, around 2008 or whatever. But yeah, I think like the consensus among the 3 of us is that it's kind of just, you know, already been done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so
didn't feel like there was a point to keep doing it because it's just like, this is cool, but you know, it's starting to just sound like, I don't know, all the other noodly emo bands that are out there.
Yeah,
that's actually something that changed too, though. Is like, I stopped singing like that as much, and I started like listening to all this different stuff. I started really trying to get better at singing, and I mainly have been working on that for the past like 1.5-2 years, way more than I've focused on guitar and changing the way I like write vocal lines and not just like yelling and shouting. And I used to like scream a lot, and I don't do that at all anymore, really, unless we're at a show and like my throat gets dry and then I have to scream. That's like a really easy cop out for when I just can't sing. But yeah, I kind of stopped doing that.
You seem like a pretty mellow guy. It's hard to imagine you screaming a lot.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I like how his vocals are now. They're super cool. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's a pretty pop thing, too, focusing more on the vocal melody.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think kind of letting go of a lot of, or, you know, kind of like scaling back, like the really technical sort of mathy stuff, and then also moving away from, like emo per se. I mean, I think it's still like in there, just like it's kind of an undercurrent now, but moving away, you know, because like I guess emo coming out of punk, like screaming is kind of more acceptable, and you know, also like being related to hardcore and stuff and post-hardcore, like screaming is a little more acceptable. But I, you know, as we move away from that and toward more you know, like big choruses and you know, like focusing more on like, you know, during verses, you know, kind of like keeping the bass and drums like really tight, you know, like me and Caitlin are a little bit we play like closer to each other a little bit more now. Mm-hmm. Since we aren't...
Do you mean like closer in the sense of like following the rhythm, or
yes,
do you mean...
okay. Yeah, uh-huh.
I didn't know if you meant like if you were physically closer to
we did do that yesterday.
Yeah, we practiced really close.
I can hear everything
at least
better.
One song.
Yeah. Trying to prep for maybe a NPR Tiny Desk someday.
That'd gotta be cool. Be ready for that. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I did want to ask, you you guys play around in Baltimore. Have you toured much? I understand that you planned one in coming up, but have you done that already?
It hasn't been so successful. Sometimes we set up shows like in a tour and they all fall apart except for like one or two. So we played like, we just like do like random out of state shows.
Yeah, right now. Have like some weekenders. One-off shows. Like we went to play in Brooklyn once.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
really
rad.
That was really fun. That was worth going and coming back. Going out of state. We played a really fun show in Philly too. That one.
Oh, I'd love to play Philly. It's so close too.
But we had like a van, so I bought a minivan. That's my car, so we could do that more. So
we gotta utilize it.
Yeah.
Get in the minivan, as Henry Rollins might say.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
So what's your plan for the upcoming tour that'll hopefully all fall into place?
Yes, hopefully it'll fall into place. Our friend Sani is helping us book it, and her band, well, it's like her, but it's like, it sounds like a full band, you know, because there's like a drum machine involved, kind of.
Yeah, on her iPhone. it's really cool. Yeah.
That's portable. Travel with that.
So we're going on tour with Sammy Heck in July, and I think the plan is to go up to Boston and hit a lot of the major cities on the way back, you know, for like, I think it's like a week and a half, like 9 days or 10 days or something like that.
That's cool. That, I mean, and that's so doable. Like, what, Boston's like 10 hours away?
Yeah, it's not bad.
It won't be a long hike.
Yeah, just one long drive and then a bunch of short ones on the way back. Yeah.
I really want to do another one a few months later that like goes down south.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Since this one's going up north.
Yeah, hit the whole East Coast between the two tours.
Be awesome. Maybe. We'll hope that works out.
Yeah, thank you. I'm terrible at booking shows. Is anybody who's trying to book one with me probably knows. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I always look at messages, the same with text, and then I'm like, this is important. I need to respond to this. And then I'm like, I'll do it in 30 minutes.
Totally forget.
I'm terrible. I just let my bandmates take care of things.
That's what I do. Yeah. That's nice. Thank you guys. Let me stay off the grid.
Elon's completely off the grid.
I think so.
Do you not have a phone?
Cool.
I have a phone. That'd be funny. Yeah.
And she rides a horse everywhere.
Just no social media, at least for now.
Yeah, it gets to be a lot of work.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Sammy, I don't know how we would get this tour booked.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Sammy.
Thanks so much.
Just have the worst luck. I send out emails, and it just... Sometimes we set up tours, and then, like Kayla was saying, like, there was one we did where it was, like, a week or so it was booked.
Mm-hmm.
Everything fell except for, like, three shows, and they were all spaced out by, like... days, you know. Yeah, so we played a show in New Jersey and then a show in Virginia Beach, and then like,
and you had like
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
It was fun.
Though.
The shows were great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
What'd you do? Just kind of like hang out in the downtime?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Make it a vacation.
Yeah, we went to like Atlantic City, I think, right?
Yeah, is that the same? A show in Atlantic City.
Oh, yeah.
That was our first show ever out of state. It was in New Brunswick in this awesome house show, and it was like busted by the police.
Like two songs in.
We have a video of that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Of the police coming in.
This one that we knew from another band, Perennial Reel. He came down. He was like 5-0, 5-0.
Rory. Yeah. They're not a band anymore, but Rory's like a rapper now.
And yeah, Rory's really cool.
And we thought it was a joke, but no.
No, it's real. Yeah, it was on the Rutgers campus, I think.
It was around there.
So, how did you guys get into music in the first place, Caitlin? Do you want to start that?
When I met Jake, he was like super into guitar, and he like liked a lot of cool bands, and I liked some music before that, but I didn't really like seek it out super hard. And he showed me Terramellos, which I really really like. They're like my favorite band still. But yeah, from there, I when we started the band, I sang.
Okay.
And I hated that.
What did you like about it?
Just, you know, the pressure. Mm-hmm. I couldn't handle it. I'm like really introverted, so like singing is just like, why did I even do that?
Well, because everyone looks at you as the singer. Like, nobody's watching the guitar player unless they're a guitar player. Like,
yeah. Exactly. Oh man, it was crazy. It was too intense. So, I played guitar a little bit before then, and I used to play piano. So, I tried to play bass, and I, you know, kept practicing, and then I was able to transition into that.
Nice. And do you like bass? Like,
I love it. Awesome. Yeah. I like it the best out of all the instruments. I like piano a lot too, though.
Yeah, I like piano. I wish I played more piano, but I like how everything is so laid out. It's
just, yeah.
It's all in a line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, how did you get into music? Like, how did that all start for you?
Music has pretty much always been a part of my life.
You get that mic. That mic in your face.
Yeah.
That's better.
Cool. Music's always been there. I grew up in a family that was really into music. Like, pretty much everyone played, you know, guitar or piano, but no one played drums. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, I don't know, I think I was like 13 when I started playing. So I'm 28 now, so it's been 15 years. Yeah. And it was just like immediately, you know, like this is what I want to do. Yeah. And
so, can you put your finger at what made it click for you?
Honestly, I had a really good drum teacher. Like when I first started, it was at Laurel School of Music. I grew up in Laurel, Maryland. And his name was John. I don't remember his last name. He was only my drum teacher for like 3 months, and then he went off to go do something else. But yeah, he was just awesome. Like, really good teacher, really great drummer. And so it was, I think, like, just that, like, I haven't taken lessons since then. I've been like been mostly self-taught, but if it wasn't for that dude, like, I don't know if I'd be here, you know. Like, you know, when you're sort of like first getting into something, you know, having like a role model or like mentor or whatever type person, I think that's like really important, you know, no matter what it is that you're trying to learn, you know, to have somebody there who's already kind of like, you know, gone before you, has already put in the work and stuff.
Yeah.
And then
there's a path.
Yeah, exactly. And I think just, you know, like, I always played music with, like, after that, you know, once I started playing, my brother also played drums. He started at the same time. So I think, like, having him to sort of, like, you know, he's my little brother, so, you know, we kind of like compete a little bit. And like, and then my cousin, our cousin Will, he played guitar, so like we've always played music together too.
Oh, that's
and
neat. That,
yeah, so I've kind of always had, you know, other people to encourage me and, you know, give me a reason to keep playing.
That's awesome. And then Jake, when did it all start with you with music?
Well, I first started playing music when I was nine. I started playing drums and school, but I really didn't like that because it was boring. I didn't get to play a drum set.
That's crazy to me. So you're 9 years old and you think you weren't into just smashing things?
Doing like paradiddles on a snare drum is just like,
yeah.
So the technical things killed it for you?
I hated reading sheet music. I hated doing all that, but I wrote poetry and I don't know, I got into music, like listening to music when I was younger, because my mom listens to really cool music, like her favorite bands like The Cure.
Nice.
So I grew up listening to a lot of good stuff, and I don't know, I was writing poetry. I wanted to like start making songs, so I got a guitar when I was 12 and just kind of taught myself how to play on the internet, and yeah, started writing songs after that. I don't know, it was within a year of playing guitar that something in my brain just kind of like locked in on it, and I knew that's what I wanted to do with my life, basically. It was weird. It was really weird, but I couldn't focus on anything. I would be in school all day, like putting my headphones in my hoodie so that I could rest my head on my hand and be like listening to music and like thinking about that and how I was gonna like learn that song when I got home. And I got like a book of Nirvana tabs and learned all of them.
That started it all for so many of us.
So I don't know. It just kind of, I knew pretty early on that music was just, just my favorite thing in the world.
And do you know what drew you to guitar, or was it just something that you just needed?
Well, at that point, I had drums that I could play at home, but I could never really practice because it annoyed everybody.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Guitar, like, you know, I could practice that whenever. And so when I got one, that's all I did. I would just play guitar nonstop all the time. I really should practice more now I think about it.
Did you ever have a teacher?
No, I never had a teacher.
Oh, really?
There was a friend of mine down the street who was also learning guitar, but he was like a few months ahead of me. So we would hang out a lot and like learn songs together. And so we learned a bunch of different cool stuff. And then I made another friend who got me into cool music like Taramellis and like The Fall of Troy and crazy bands like that. And then he kind of showed me some like tapping and doing kind of some crazy techniques like that. So I had friends who showed me a lot of stuff, but I never like took lessons from anybody. Though I did, I taught for School of Rock for a little bit though.
Oh, did you?
And that was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I think if I ever taught music again, that would have to be like only one or two students who actually really wanted to do it. Because I had a lot of students and some of them didn't really want to be there, so that was just kind of a drag for everybody involved, you know.
Yeah,
but I also had some amazing students. Like one of my students, Jackson, does, he's like more active than I am doing. Like,
he's like playing better shows than
he's playing tons of shows and actually in like acting in shows. He's probably gonna be famous one day.
Awesome.
But I mean, it was cool.
You could say you had a hand in it. That's
sweet. I wish. He was already incredibly talented before I taught him.
So what places do you like to play around Baltimore? What are some of your favorite venues?
I really like playing house shows, but I can't like really think of exactly where. And in Baltimore, where did we play last? Oh, we played at Joe Squared.
Oh,
yeah,
Joe Squared.
It's down Squares.
It was really fun. I like playing at Joe Squared.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Got some pizza.
Yeah,
they
give
you a pizza. Everybody loves that place because you get the pizza.
Yeah, it's great pizza. A lot of people came too. I mean, it's, I don't know, they're doing it right. I mean, it's been kind of a newer thing since they moved to that location, started having shows in the basement. The couple that I've been to or played there have been just really fun. So that's probably,
The nice thing about it too is there's enough space, but it's also easy to fill up.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of really cool people work there. A lot of people we know work there actually. It's cool. I mean, and then of course it's fun when you get the opportunity to play at like the Auto Bar or something. The sound there is just amazing.
It's crazy.
So many. I've seen so many of my favorite bands there. So.
Yeah. Metro Gallery is cool. Yeah. Wind Up Space is great.
You don't really get to play at the Crown often, but the Crown's cool. They're doing they're doing tons of shows and stuff. So.
Yeah, the Crown's way cool. But I think like Caitlin said, the like house shows are always the best. Yeah.
Those are the most
special
fun.
About them. Yeah. The intimacy of them or something. They're awesome.
Grateful Acres. In particular, that's the best in Falston. Our friend Sammy runs that venue. She
well, I think a bunch of people have a hand in running that too.
I guess there's a few people.
That place is great. It's a little bit outside the city, so I mean maybe like 25 minute drive or something from within the city, but it's worth it. They get like a lot of touring bands to come through there, and it's just a very great space where everybody's welcome and it's always just very positive energy, fun times.
It's a great space.
We'll have to check it out. So what's on the horizon for you guys? Do you guys have plans for a full length anytime soon? I mean, I know you just put out the CP, so let's not rush things.
Let's absolutely rush things because there's way too much time between our last
accelerate.
We've been writing our full length, and it's I mean, we have more than enough songs to do one,
but
we'd like to write way more stuff than we need and then kind of like narrow it down to the best, you know, 9 or 10, however many we pick. And we're still, I've just recently finished up a new batch of songs that, of course, now I'm like, oh, I want these ones to be on the full length instead. So we're trying to start demoing our songs for ourselves, like listen to and really like lock everything in. I would like to start recording one by the end of summer. I always set like really ambitious goals and they kind of stress sometimes to meet them. And it's not always the best thing to do, but I would totally love to start recording it by the end of summer if we we can. I think it's gonna be possible. We're all getting a place together soon, so I'm gonna be able to bother them with my new songs.
How do you think that'll change the band dynamic? You guys will be like the Monkees or something.
It's either gonna be the best thing we ever did or the worst thing we ever did.
So we'll find out. Yeah,
that's always such a neat idea, like the, you know, because then you're available at any time, you know, as long as the neighbors don't mind or whatever. But
And we're we'll only be living like probably 15 minutes from here, like in Charles Village. So, yeah, it should be pretty easy. Yeah, when we're all just like chilling, have nothing going on. Like, all right, may as well go practice. Just hammer out these new songs or whatever.
That's very cool. I guess I'll kind of wind things down. Unless, is there anything else we need to make sure people know about?
Well,
did we miss anything?
We talked about the EP.
True, we have an EP.
Yeah, we have EP. Glimmings coming out May 4th. That's Fine Lines.
Where's it going to be on?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be on Bandcamp. You know, we have Facebook. We have Instagram. We're producing content. You know, we know what you want.
That's all
there.
Life is nowadays. It's content.
Content.
Yeah, so... that stuff going down. It'll be up there in all normal places and SoundCloud. There are tapes coming out through Deep Sea Records, and hopefully we'll do another sort of physical pressing. We're also, you know, in talks with our friends in a band called Ethics Committee to do a split, possibly 7-inch, and we would each region a cover a song by this band that we like and then do like an original song, I think is the plan right now. So
Which band will we know?
Q and Not You is the right now. So
what song do you guys want to do by them?
We're doing End the Washington Monument. We've been playing that at shows lately.
Nice.
And or just like throwing it because we don't really do covers like almost ever, but this one we've had a lot of fun doing to the point where I'm just like, I wish this was our song. It's not. Yeah. It's so good.
It's such a good song.
But that band is incredible.
They are. It's sad. I kind of miss them when they were around, but I like recently got hip to them, so I've been listening to that.
I never
like,
see them.
Nobody told me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's exciting. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I always end with asking people what advice they would have for younger musicians or new musicians. So, Caitlin, what have you learned that you would like to pass on to others?
Even if you play or you feel like you played a really crappy show, just don't give up and just keep going. And the more shows you play, the better it gets.
That's great. And there's always another show. Well, hopefully always
another
show.
Yeah,
hopefully,
yeah. Right. Yeah. Just keep trying.
Yeah. No, Mike, do you have anything for us?
I would probably just reiterate Caitlin's advice. Just keep playing. And you know, like keep practicing. You know, like play on your own. You know, like if you're in a band, you know, don't just like, you know, be in a band, you know, like be like have your own kind of like personal practice too. You know, like play when you're happy, play when you're sad. Like throughout my life, like I've found a lot of like solace in having like a personal practice, right? Mm-hmm. And having this instrument to play, having this thing to do. So yeah, just don't give up. Maybe it kind of sounds cliche, but cliches are great.
That's awesome. And Jake, what do you
say? I don't know if it's just because this is like on my mind right now, but our friend.
Less in the chill space, right?
No.
Yeah.
See, it's a good chill space.
It's a good chill space. Yeah.
I definitely miss being
maybe more people will chill. Yeah.
Yeah, our friend Sammy Heck has an EP coming out April 27th called Stop Wasting Time. And that's what I would say my advice right now would be. There's so much time that I wasted watching Netflix and doing stupid things that now I'm like, wow, I really could have been practicing guitar. I could have been practicing singing. It's like, it's pointless to regret that kind of thing because you can't change it. But if you really love music and you want to do it and you want to get better at doing it, then you just really have to make an effort to put the time in and do it. And sometimes that means sacrificing like other things, but it's truly worth it, because when you have those moments, like those shows that go really well, or you write that song that you're just really stoked on, or like the first time you get to listen back to your music recorded and you're not actually playing it, like that to me has been the most rewarding feelings I've ever felt in my life. And I'm sure that the same is true of most musicians. So I would just say, yeah, use your time wisely and it'll pay off.
And it'll don't be off. A creep.
Oh, yes. That's rule number
yeah.
one.
Yeah, please don't be a creep. Be a creep. Yeah.
There's too many creeps in this.
Yeah. Yeah. No more.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's awesome, guys. Thank you so much, FaZe Arcade. Everybody check out their music.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
That was FaZe Arcade. Aren't they great? I'm posting this on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. All of you people filling in motherly roles. Good job. Here's your bi-weekly Santa Labrada update. May 19th, we'll be playing with the Stone Dust Riders, opening up for them at their album release show. Please come out to that. That's at the Holiday House off of Harford Road. It's going to be us. It's going to be Friends of the Show Lush Farm. It's going to be One Spot. Please come on out and enjoy some rock and roll. Our next show, we're going to celebrate our patron saint's feast day up in Philly. It will be our first show in Philly, and it should be a good one. We're playing with the Shondas. It's a big deal. And the Great Whites, we're going to be at the Mothership. I don't know if I have any people in Philly listening to this, but we'd love to see you there. Also, we finally got our vinyl in for the release. So if you haven't pre-ordered, you can do that. You'll be able to start picking it up at our shows. So this is super exciting to us. It's 180-gram vinyl. It sounds really, really, really good. Well, that's all I got for this episode. Again, thank you so much to FaZe Arcade. They were great. And give them a listen. Check out that Gloomy EP. See you next time.